After 2 years of no funding, the Butterfly Project, run by Children's Home and Aid in Bloomington Normal, has been restored. The new state contract comes as part of the budget agreement. Agency regional CEO Lisa Piper says it serves children from birth to age five who have been exposed to violence in the home.
In addition to serving the families whose very, you know, intimate personal lives have been impacted, it also allows us to do some community awareness and outreach, community education about how important this topic is.
How much funding?
Just a little, a hair under $125,000.
And how many people does that allow you to serve?
It allows us to hire two full-time master's level clinicians and also provide them supervision.
And how many people can they help per year?
Well, we'll attempt to have each clinician serve 12 families at a time and then do some community outreach in addition.
Tell us what difference this will make in the lives of children.
Well, it's going to allow us to hopefully help those stop the cycle of violence. So many people believe, Charlie, that children who are exposed to violence and witnessing it are not impacted as severely as children who are actually physically abused and neglected. And what the research tells us, and it's been telling us this for a long time, is that children who witness violence are oftentimes more significantly impaired and impacted than children who actually are maybe spanked too hard on the bottom or left alone, you know, maybe at too young of an age. That witnessing that violence between the two people that they love, who are supposed to be able to take care of them and, you know, have their interest at heart, is terribly harmful to a child. So, and then we know that once that damage has been done, you can't undo that. So what we're going to attempt to do with this program back up and operational is minimize that impact so that these children aren't traumatized further on in their lives beyond the actual incident. And then also with the community outreach and education, hopefully continue to get the word out there about how damaging this is and how important it is to protect our children from ever having to see this in the first place, so we don't have to mitigate those circumstances out at a later date.
What has happened to the children whom you had to stop serving 2 years ago?
Well, they just have received no services.
Have you tried to track them and find out how their lives went?
Not yet. We have not attempted to do that. We do have plans to reach out to the families that we were serving when we were funded 2 years ago and see if they're still around and in the area and in need of services, that we were definitely going to start there.
How much greater is the need than the funding?
Oh, I could easily hire double what I'm doing and hire four therapists instead of two. And for every community talk that we did, where we would present to like daycare centers and PTO groups and community agencies, I could double that as well. When we were fully staffed 3 years ago, we always had a waiting list. Well, and here's the other thing, a lot of programs completely went away. And so if the state were to reach out to some of, again, not in our geography, but some of our colleagues in surrounding towns like Peoria, Springfield, Champaign, those agencies that were providing the service, I mean, some of them have closed and gone out of business. And we were lucky that at least we had the infrastructure here to be able to say yes when we were called and asked, you know, would you like this contract back? And, you know, we can get these staff. One of them's already been hired and started. The other one, I believe, starts in just a couple days. You know, that we've got the infrastructure here to hire them and train them and get them back, you know, out in the field again working with these families. Not all of the Safe from the Start programs, of which the Butterfly Project was one, across the state were able to do that.
So you have fewer service providers chasing the same number of dollars as before. That's not exactly a good thing statewide, but it's good for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't result in any more money for us, but it just, you know, after 2 years of nothing, some people just couldn't hold on that long. And I'm happy for our community that, you know, we were able to say yes when we got that call and able to regroup. I guess, what's that saying, better late than never?
Do you believe that this funding will be secure, or is it likely to go away as the election year approaches and the risk rises of further budgetary election year political logjams?
Sure. Again, without my crystal ball, but I would say the best predictor of future behavior is how things have gone in the past. And based on that, I would say that this program is highly susceptible to having issues with funding going forward. It's not funding that is required by law. So like if, you know, for foster care, right, those kids are wards of the state of Illinois. They're, you know, they're wards of the court. The state is their guardian. The state has to pay for those children in foster care. They have to pay for those families to get help. This is a prevention program. And there's no law stating that the state has to pay it. So any program that falls into that category, I think, is at significant risk going forward.
How, then, do you hire people of the caliber necessary to do a great job with that level of uncertainty?
That's a good question, Charlie. And I think that social workers and folks that work in the human service field are... they're aware, they are knowledgeable about what some of the risks are, especially in the state of Illinois. And we are so lucky to have staff who care so much about helping children and families and giving them the possibility of a better life that they are willing to take on some of that risk for themselves. They also know that while we can't guarantee maybe any particular job going forward, we always try to, if something happens with a program, find a spot for a staff in another program at the agency where there's a vacancy, in a program that is still up and running. So we've made that commitment to our staff many times over the last couple of years.
Give listeners a little more indication of how the prevention programming works. How do you offer the kids and the families something that will prevent harm?
Sure. Well, we offer it in a couple different ways. I talked about the, you know, community education and awareness just to raise people's knowledge about how harmful this is, and that if we can prevent it, that's better for everybody, because a lot of people don't know that. But if we do get referrals of families where the children have been exposed to violence, we take a multi-track approach to that. We will go out and do home visits and work with the parent and the child in their home. We'll have the parent and child come to the office and do one-on-one with them. We offer a support group for the parents themselves, and then we do other activities with the children in another room so the parents can sit down and spend time with other parents who have gone through this and are having some of the same struggles. Maybe, it's a mom who was battered in front of her child and she's blaming herself. And, you know, there could be other women in the room that can support her and normalize that and help her see, but you took the right steps. You got out of that relationship. You protected your child. You did what was necessary. Maybe you didn't do it the first time something bad happened and your child witnessed that, but you did do the right thing, you know, so to help them stop blaming themselves. We've trained, before, and we will train our new therapists again in a treatment modality that specializes in repairing that bond between the parent and the child. So we're talking here about non-offending parents, but the children still need to rebuild that trust with that parent, and we have specific activities that are geared towards rebuilding trust, to rebuilding that attachment, and activities then with that parent so that they can try to start to understand how their child has been harmed by their behaviors. And that's a really big, difficult step that you have to admit as a parent that you've done something that caused trauma to your child. But if we can help the parents get to that point and show them that there are things that they can do to repair that, then that's where families start to get better.
GLT started reporting on the impact of the budget standoff on human services, including the Butterfly Project, 2 years ago in our series Stretch Thin, and then a year later in Stretch Thinner. Lisa Piper is the regional CEO of Children's Home and Aid.